ஓம் ஹரிஹி ஓம் தத் சத் ஸ்ரீ குருப்யோ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். ஓம் நமோ பகவதே ஸ்ரீ தக்ஷிணாமூர்த்தி ஸ்வரூபாய ஸ்ரீ தயானந்த ரூபாய பரமகுருவே. காமஸ்ய கிருதாத்மனஸ்து இஹைவ சர்க்கே ப்ரவிலீயந்தி காமாஹ. காமான்ய காமயதே மன்யமானஹ சாமபர்ஜாயத்தே தத்ர தத்ர பர்யாப்த காமஸ்ய க்ருதாத்மனஸ்து இஹைவ சர்க்கே ப்ரவிலீயந்தி காமாஹ. So here, is it possible for one to attain moksha without aspiring for it? Definitely not. Without aspiring for something, you cannot attain anything. Therefore, one must aspire for moksha, and one must know the means of attainment of moksha being the knowledge. Therefore, one must also aspire for jnanam, which means a mumukshu should become a jignyasuhu. Only then attainment of jnanam, which itself is moksha, is possible. So in this mantra, Upanishad wants to clarify that fact that moksha is our choice. It means Bhagavan cannot choose to come and give us the moksha. Okay, Bhagavan will look after me, Bhagavan will give me moksha. If we think Bhagavan will never come and give us moksha, he will have great fun keeping us in samsara. Therefore, if Bhagavan cannot choose to give moksha, what does it mean? There is no such a thing. Bhagavan being the very order, Bhagavan is always impartial, not judgmental. And Bhagavan being the very order, just how if I touch the fire, fire will burn my finger. Burning is that nature of the fire. Similarly, Bhagavan in my order disturbed, Bhagavan in my order will disturb back. So any karma is within the realm of the order. So any aspiration, when properly expressed through appropriate action, it will bless a person with that aspired result. Suppose if Bhagavan also is partial, I mean Bhagavan is only gives moksha for some people whom he likes, and otherwise he ignores other people. Exactly what we think with our friends and local people. Oh, that person rejects me, he accepts other person. This is a simple common human feeling. And suppose that is there, is called Vaishamya Nairghrinya Doshaha. Vaishamya Nairghrinya Doshaha. So this Vaishamya Nairghrinya Doshaha means Nirguna. Bhagavan is Nirgunaha. Therefore, in Nirgunam Brahma, if such a defect is possible, it is called Vaishamya Nairghrinya Doshaha. Which means there is no choice on the part of Bhagavan. There is no such a dosha, if defect on the part of Bhagavan, that Bhagavan does not choose to give moksha. This moksha is something and highly sophisticated of the beings. The individual human being has to make effort on his own to attain moksha. Okay, therefore, this desire for moksha is possible only if a person has good samskara even from the previous lives. Otherwise, the previous lives lived properly, managing the ragadveshas. And the more and more a person can manage ragadveshas, how managing on ragadveshas? By living consciously a life of dharma. And not simply living a life of dharma alone, with a serious prayer and worship, It means having moksha as the goal, antakarana shuddhi as the goal. If a person lives for that person, along with the antakarana shuddhi is also possible. And even the tivra icha, the strong desire for moksha also is possible. And even the desire becomes strong also, then the person may not be capable of accomplishing that because of his limitations in terms of mental conditions. And that person has to work for fulfilling those conditions that required for moksha and jnanam, that one must take care of one's lifestyle just to remove the obstacles and to prepare himself to have antakarana shuddhi and antakarana naishchalyam. When I say the removal of obstacles, pratibandhas caused by parabdha karma, means the more a person does punya karma, living a life of dharma means consciously living, it helps. The removal of obstacles is not for jnanam finally, only for antakarana shuddhi. And if with adequate antakarana shuddhi, a person aspires for jnanam, if he gets his jnanam, then in the wake of jnanam, he gets all the papa karmas, the entire sanchitam, he gets it resolved. Okay, that is a different thing. So here, yaha kamayate, the person who desires, kamayate means desires, kamayate, kamaha desire, but kamayate desires. So the person yaha kamayate, whoever or anybody, the person who desires, what desires? Kaman. Kaman means objects of desires. The person who has desire for objects of desire. Yaha kaman kamayate. One who has desire, one who desires objects of enjoyment. Means one who really gradually cultivates many, many desires for many, many things in his mind. And how does he do that? Not that he does not. Even if a person is exposed to the Shastra study, even if a person is involved in studying, even if a person is given to the discipline of Shravanam, still the person, it is possible for him to have desire for worldly objects. Which means the person is not able to still see the defects of the worldly objects. The worldly objects are said to have some defects. What are those defects? They, in acquiring any worldly desire, in fulfilling any desire, there is definitely strain is involved. That is why arjane dukkham. And once having acquired what one wants, in preserving also there is dukkham. In preserving the same pleasure forever is also involves in maintaining any asset. In preserving the enjoyment of objects one has, there also strain and pain is involved. And after having lost the nature of anything in the world being subject to time, subject to change, and one day it gets lost, after having lost the object of enjoyment also, then there is greater pain. Which means in possessing something, acquiring something, in maintaining and preserving the same, and in losing also, there is a greater pain. As always, pain is mixed in any enjoyment of any degree of pleasure. That's why, dukkhena mishritam sukham means, sukham is always mixed with the pain. There is no such a thing called pure, crystal clear, painless pleasure at all. This is one thing. And then even if you get that pleasure, it is what definitely subject to time, subject to change. It is of time bound. Time bound. And then it will keep a person continuously in samsara. So any object of enjoyment, any effort a person makes to acquire that object, so possessing that object, enjoyment of that object, again it will keep the person always remain in samsara. Therefore, one is, it is mixed with dukkena mishritam, mixed with the pain. Then it will samsarikam sukham. Samsarikam means it will keep you bound, remain in samsara forever. You can never release. No enjoyment of any pleasure, any object will make a person relieve from samsara. It is samsarikam sukham. So dukkha mishritam sukham, samsarikam sukham, it will keep you in samsara forever. Then even if something, if at all a person gets his desires fulfilled also, then the triptihi will not be possible. The satisfaction will not be possible at all. Which means always it is, tripti rahitam sukham. There will not be triptihi, satisfaction at all. A person may feel satisfied in the beginning for some time, but later on, gradually, he will become dissatisfied with that also. So being dissatisfied, that's why atripti. So tripti rahitam means what? Atripti karam means it will never make a person feel satisfied. Dukkha mishritam, dukkena mishritam, it is mixed with the pain. And it will reach in a person samsara forever. These are the three big defects of any enjoyment of any object in the world. Any enjoyment of any pleasure of enjoying any object also. Therefore, the person who is exposed to the Vedanta study or scriptural study, repeatedly listening to the nature of the objects of pleasure and the objects of enjoyment, he understands that these all the objects in the world have these three big defects. What are they? This is called doshatrayam. Doshatraya yuktam sarvam asmin jagati. In this world, everything is mixed with this. Everything is endowed with these threefold defects. In terms of dukkena mishritam sukham, samsarikam sukham, atriptikaram sukham. This is the line. A person who understands, then naturally, the person may grow out of desire for these desires and objects of pleasures. Okay. Even otherwise, in spite of listening also, a person may not. In spite of knowing also, still, it is very natural for a human being to have desire for those objects. Therefore, that is why in Veda Shastram, all ashramas, every ashrama and every ashrama dharma and everything is ultimately to help a person to prepare his mind to discover vairagyam, to discover that viveka and vairagyam. If the brahmacharya ashrama and afterwards grihastha ashrama definitely should help a person discover viveka vairagyam. In fact, it is said married life, entering into grihasthashrama life itself is ultimate purpose of grihasthashrama life is to help a person discover viveka and vairagyam, not to get entangled there forever. Then the grihasthashrama life has served its purpose. Of course, in having children, contributing for the perpetuation of dharma, contributing for the perpetuation of lineage of family, values, etc. There are secondary dharmas. The main purpose of the grihastha ashrama life itself is to ultimately to prepare one's mind for jnanam in terms of discovering viveka and vairagyam. That is what is said. Therefore, what I want to say here, yaha kaman kamayate, the person who desires still worldly objects of the world. How does he desire? Yaha kaman kamayate, மன்யமானஹா மன்யமானஹா காமான் காமயத்தே மன்யமானஹா. So மன்யமானஹா means always thinking of those objects. மன்யதே means things, considers. So மன்யமானஹா means it's being always being engrossed, being attached to those objects, being dependent of those objects for one's happiness and pleasure, security, the pleasure also, enjoyment of pleasures, and sort of getting emotionally entangled and obsessed with those objects all the time. The person who desires the objects of pleasures of the world, having the obsession for them, manyamanaha, being obsessed with those objects, okay, desires. Saha, that person, saha, jayate tatra tatra. Suppose that person dies also, then that person definitely is born again. Where tatra tatra, the person is born exactly in a conducive atmosphere where he can get his those desires fulfilled, which means Bhagavan in the form of order is involved in the function of meditation also. All those desires become registered, which means the order itself arranges such a thing that the person's birth happens only in a place where he can fulfill those desires. Saha jayate, he is born tatra tatra. Again, what? Kama bihi, exactly with those desires. The person is born in an atmosphere, different places. Tatra tatra means there means what? In a suitable, conducive background, a place, he is born with the same old mental impressions, the desires which he always had. It means if the desires were unfulfilled also, so they will be there with those, he will have those mental impressions in the form of vasanas. So, yaha kaman kamayate, that person, as a result of which, and the whole life he lives his life, performing actions, fulfilling them one after the other, again he will have more desires. He wouldn't have come satisfied with those fulfillment of those desires. Naturally, he dies also with having a lot of desires. There's some, the mental impressions, some desires in the form of mental impressions, samskaras, then that person with the same old desires, and he is born again in different place where he can fulfill those desires. Jayate, jayate tatra tatra. With what? With kama bihi means with the same desires. Though, how do that way? No desire is fresh, brand new desire. Puja Swamiji used to say, there's no any emotion which really surfaces in one's mind is not a brand new emotion. Whether it is raga or dvesha or anger or fear or anything, nothing is new. Already everything is there enough in the subconscious, dormant. Only they need appropriate situation for them to be triggered to surface. Similarly, these ragadveshas also. So all these desires also, they surface. This is how a person who does not have discriminative understanding, okay, discriminative understanding, lives his life. This is what happens with him. The person has desires, fulfills them, again has more desires and dies. He remains samsara, again comes back, again he is born in a different atmosphere where he can fulfill his desires. But he is born with the same old, again different, new samskaras, desires in the form of mental impressions. So he continues to remain in samsara. This is the condition of a person who does not have vivekaha, discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real, what is permanent, what is impermanent. The person has not learned in his life. Means viveka has not yet come. Therefore, vairagyam is not possible. Therefore, as a passionate, simple individual, he continues to be in samsara. Whereas, there are vivekinaha, the vivekis, those people, okay, they, vivekinaha, paryapta kamasya krutatmanastu. That is a paryapta kamaha. Paryapta kamaha means one who feels enough with the fulfillment of his desires. Paryaptam means enough. Kamaha means desire. Paryapta kamaha means kamaha paryaptaha yasya. Means the one for whom the fulfillment of desires, no, one whose desire for fulfillment of desires has come to an end. One who feels enough. Okay, one who feels enough. That person, paryapta kamasya, and he, what happens? He, because of his maturity, because of his viveka vairagyam, this person, being born in a different background of maybe the Vedic background, and naturally he discovers desire for moksha, and because of his commitment to pursuit of moksha, and he also lives a clean life, there's no need for him to do anything wrong, so he attains jnanam and he attains moksha. Hachapur is called Kritatmanaha. Kritatmanaha. Kritatmanaha again is like Krita Krityaha. The person of fulfillment. Paryapta Kamaha. The one who has grown out of desire for worldly objects. Enough. One who says enough is called Paryapta Kamaha. No more desires. Enough. All the desires, fulfillment of any number of desires, will keep me in unhappiness, in samsara, continuously like this. This person is not a person of frustration. He has no hatred towards any worldly objects. Definitely there's no hatred towards any worldly objects. Nor does he has any attachment towards any worldly objects. He worked hard. He enjoyed some objects. He has learned their limitations. Having understood the limitations, he has grown out of desire for fulfillment of desires. And who feels enough with the fulfillment of desires. Such a person alone, here, Shastram talks about him as Paryapta Kamaha. Paryapta Kamaha. And this person, Paryapta Kamaha, what does he do? Krita Krityaha. Krita Krityaha. Krita Krityaha means one for whom the Kritya means ultimate end. One who has got all his ends accomplished. He is called Krita Krityaha. Paryapta Kamaha is also Krita Krityaha. This Krita Krityaha, having resolved his, as a result of attainment of his knowledge, he becomes free from, first of all the wrong notions. And he has a different perspective also of the world and the self. So he is absolutely independent of the world. Even for him, Bhagawan is one's own Swarupam. So he, having his clear vision of oneness of reality and seeing everything as Bhagawan, which is non-different from one's own self, as a person, for him, no more kartrutvam, no more bhoktrutvam, no doership and enjoyership, no desires, no, he has got all his emotions also resolved for good. He need not do anything to neutralize his parabdha karma or any other karma. Why? Because where is the karma for him? Kartrutvam itself is not there. Bhoktrutvam itself is not there. No more doership, no more enjoyership. So all his punya papams are resolved for good. So pravilayanti kamaha sarve is the last sentence of the mantra. Sarve kamaha. All his desires remain resolved for good. Not only that, for such a person, ihayeva pravilayanti. So all his desires become fulfilled as it were. Sarve kamaha pravilayanti means what now? All his desires resolve for good means the by fulfilling all the desires, what satisfaction a person should have. This person already has absolute satisfaction as a result of the vision of his own sarupam being fullness. Because the sense of completeness. Why? There's no second thing reality other than oneself. And the one's own sarupam is Brahma. In the vision of, the wake of the vision, clear vision of one's own sarupam being fullness, anandaha, purnatvam, fullness, this person is absolutely free from sense of incompleteness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insufficiency centered on I, as a result of which there's absolute satisfaction, because of which no desire can newly arise for him. If at all desires are there, those desires are non-binding desires, because, and then even his karma will be a karma abhasaha, because he has no doership and enjoyership, he has no punya papam also. All his desires will be resolved for good. Pravilayanti kamaha. Okay, it is not possible for him to have any of the desires. He is a jnani, such a person. Which means there's always, there's no desire to live, there's no desire to die also. There's no desire for anything. So he lives his whole, enjoys his parabdha, you know, parabdha also, unaffectedly, objectively, and welcoming without any fear of death, this person lives. The person who has got all his desires resolved for good as a result of his vision of truth being one's own swarupam. So no desire is there for varajnani. His whole body becomes offered to parabdha karma, for exhaustion of parabdha karma, which means I am free. If body is subject to parabdha karma, he doesn't become afflicted because of his objectivity towards the parabdha, body. And there's no, I am afflicted, that notion is not there. I am free, that vision is there. Therefore, this person is a jivan muktaha, then attains videha muktihi also late after the death. Okay. Now, we'll move on to the next verse. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Yame vaisha vrunute tena labhyastasesha atma vivrunute tanum swam. What started in the previous mantra is going to be ended here. That means the moksha cannot be Bhagavan's choice. Moksha must be one's own choice. And what, so for which we had talked, it was introduced in the previous mantra indirectly, and here it is made very clear. Nayamatma bala pravachanena labhyo
மேதையா ந பகுனா சுதேன யமே வைஷ விருணுதே தேன லப்யா தஸ்யேஷ ஆத்மா விருணுதே தனும் ஸ்வாம்.
சோ ஹியர் உபனிஷத் ஹர் செல்ஃப் வாண்ட்ஸ் டு கன்க்ளூட் த டீச்சிங். As it presented in the previous mantra, so that again the teacher wanted to make the student understand the Atma Swarupam which he has been discussing. Means he wants to reinforce and consolidate the teaching in terms of teaching involving mainly Swarupa Jnanam, the essential knowledge of the essential nature of one's own self. So, what is that means of attaining the knowledge of one's own Swarupam? And what is the means of attaining one's own Swarupam? And what is the benefit of attaining the knowledge of one's own essential nature? Or innermost essence of oneself? So here that is mentioned again. Acharya beautifully here presents what is it one needs. What is Atma Jnanam? Atma Jnanam is knowledge of the reality of the whole, obtaining as the Swarupam of the knower I, is the Atma Jnanam. And what is the means of attaining this Swarupa knowledge of the self? What is the means? Atma Jnana Sadhanam Kim. What is the means of attaining this Atma Jnanam? Which means the disciplines, what are the disciplines actually required for the attainment of Jnanam? Then thirdly, what is the benefit of the attainment of Jnanam? So, Atma Jnanam, Atma Jnana Sadhanam, Atma Jnana Phalam, three factors. These are all the teacher is going to discuss in this verse. So first he says, Nayamatma bal pravachanena labhyaha na medaya na bahunashrutena. Means I am Atma na labhyaha. This Atma is not available, not obtainable, not attainable. Atma is not attainable by what? Pravachanena Atmana Labhyaha na ayam Atma Labhyaha Pravachanena. Pravachanam here means speech. So listening to any amount of teaching, any amount of lectures, so any amount of discourses, which means it need not be systematic teaching. There are people who have the habit of going and sitting in all the upanyasams happening in sabhas. In Chennai it happens. There's so many people will come, Mahatma will come, so many talks will be happening, they go and listen. Listening, listening, listening. one can listen to any amount of lectures and discourses. It's called listening to those things. That means is listening not good? Shravanam is the important means of attaining jnanam. How do you say it is not good? No. Listening means it must be systematic, regular, continuous, and step by step, you know, unfoldment or unfold, listening to the unfoldment of subject matter of the shastram systematically, regularly, step by step. That is called shravanam. Simply accumulating information, gathering information, being exposed to any talk, any interesting talk happens, it is not the means. So pravachanena na labhyaha means listening to any amount of discourses. People collect the information, they gather the information, they may be highly informed, because if the teaching is not systematic, then that pravachanam will not help a person discover atma. He says, nayam atma pravachanena labhyaha. Okay, na ayam atma pravachanena labhyaha. Okay, next he says, but Shankara Bhagavatpada means, he says, even simply learning the Vedic chanting, because Veda Adhyayanam, after the Veda Adhyayanam, having memorized the whole Veda text itself, some people used to be very proud, okay, we have learned the whole Veda chanting. Those days it was considered great. So even today, Vedic chanting is very important discipline, but then that itself does not become, okay, people come and tell big list of what all they have studied. I have learned this book, I have learned this book, I have learned this book. I do that paranam, I do this paranam, I do that chanting, I do this puja, I do that worship. People know we have learned Devi Mahatmya, we do Narayanayam, we have studied that and this. So people read a lot and they're exposed to so much of teachings. They might have accumulated a lot of information. So by such things, definitely Atma cannot be attained. It means that's all karma. Learning, chanting, even anything, it's all karma only. Listening to the explanations of many things also is karma only. But it's not systematic. Not Shravanam is very different. Therefore, by being exposed to many pravachanams also, Atma cannot be attained, cannot be discovered. So, an important thing is pravachanam, listening to very good lectures, informative lectures, is not waste of time. It's not considered useless or waste. But that is not the means of attainment of jnanam. That is useful to learn new things, unknown things. That is useful. That is why listening to many different talks by different people, isn't it useful? Shastram does not say listening to the different talks, different information, not useful, not useless. They all serve their own purpose. They are useful. But they do not serve as means of attainment of jnanam, which is moksha. Very important. So pravachanam means lecture, speech, discourse. So listening to different discourse and different subject matters is not useless, but it is not the means of attainment of jnanam and moksha. Must be very clear about what is the means. That is why if a person has purushartha nischayaha, the priority is very clear. What I want is moksha means jnanam becomes the goal. For that jnanam, Vedanta Shastra Shravanam alone is the means. Not any listening to any lecture on any Bhagavan's Puranas or anything else. They all can contribute for mental preparation. It's all very good. But that itself should not be mistaken for a means of attainment of jnanam. It's very pravachanam. Then, na medhaya, na bahuna shrutena. So, medha we can say about the in good power of intellection a person has. So he can grasp anything very easily. He has grahana shakti. The person has also dharana shakti. He can retain. He can remember anything. So he has a very good memory power. So this is also very important sadhana, very important means as a discipline. So a means should not be mistaken for an end. This is the means for what? This is all for antakarna shuddhi. All this listening to pravachanams and also or to know the value of dharma and also to for antakarna shuddhi, they all be very helpful. Even the medha shakti a person has, thereby a person memorizes, retains, it's all good. Even for atmajnanam also we need medha shakti. But just being endowed with the medha shakti, being capable of memorizing, listening, retaining itself is not a jnanam, it's not a means of attainment of jnanam and mokshaha. That is what is said. So medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Because Shravanam also is important, very important discipline here. But here, even Shastram says here, Mundaka Upanishad puts different now. So the person, even by listening to the Shastram, listening also, by listening, does it make a person really, even not by listening to a teacher a lot also, still a person may not attain jnanam. So na medhaya na bahuna shrutena nayamatma labhyaha pravachanena medhaya na bahuna shrutena. Na bahuna shrutena. Okay, then what is that by which one can attain jnanam? Shastram says, even if a person does a lot of shravanam, even then, the shravanam, how good the shravanam was, that is very important. So the shravanam shravanam is very different here. So here Shastram says, na bahuna shrutena yameva yeshaha vrunute tena labhyaha. The one who chooses yameva yeshaha vrunute, the whole thing, shravanam is not belittled here. See, without having moksha as the ultimate goal, without having the desperate urge for moksha, without having chosen the atma jnanam as the only means of moksha, thereby without having that thirst for knowing atma for moksha, if a person simply goes and sits in the class and listens for intellectual pleasure. Because some people like to attend Vedanta classes. I remember Swami Chinmayananda used to say, when I was very young, very, very young, and I used to go with my grandfather to listen to the lectures, Chinmayananda Mission lectures. And then the big crowd used to come in Coimbatore and all. Those days, going and listening to the talks in English language was something. People used to come just because the talks were in English. They used to come to attend the lectures. The big crowd used to come. Now all you can see the posh elite crowd, the whole society will come. Only they will be there. All rich people, big people, highly educated, common educated students, they'll all come. So they'll be coming, the big crowd. And they used to feel very proud of attending these talks. And they used to appreciate, oh, fantastic speaker Swamiji was. I remember very well. I was not very understanding anything. I was very much younger those days. I'm talking about my young age. And then my grandfather was very busy organizing, so he wouldn't care for me. Then I was just to go play around. Then I remember those days, big crowds used to come just because the lectures were in English language. Somebody, another person comes, he was giving a very good lecture in Tamil. The crowd will be less. And some people will be, simple people will be there sitting. What I want to say, people go and listen to the teaching also. So regularly, every day, 7 days, Yajna, Gita, Yajnana, Yajna. Chimayanthaka means those days, it was like a big crowd. Even for Puja Swamiji. So it just becomes a, some sort of a style, fashion for those in those days. So even listening to the teaching also, there is no jignyasutvam. No, I want moksha, and for that moksha, jnanam is only means all that I want is atma jnanam. All that I want is atma jnanam. All that I want is only atma jnanam, nothing else. I want only atma jnanam. Because jnanam is moksha. With such a thirst for jnanam, if a person listens to the Vedanta class also, then that becomes shravanam. Otherwise, the person goes and sits in the Vedanta class, listens and listens and listens and listens for ages. The teacher also teaches for ages, many years. And the teacher and the students both have memorized the whole, all Upanishad texts. Bhashyam is in the mind, everything is in the mind. But what is lacking? Tivra Mukshutvam is not there. My God, so beautiful Upanishad, they just says, what is the use of doing Shravanam if there is Mukshutvam? Na bahuna shrutena, even by doing Shravanam properly also for many years, so much a person has heard, still Atma Jnanam will not be possible unless a person listens to the teaching, having Shravanam, knowing the value of Shravanam as a means of resolving the Ajnanam, attaining the Jnanam, and the craving for Atma Jnanam, the craving for, then that is called Atma Varanam. Atma Varanam means choice of the self knowledge. Choice of the self. All I want is, I want to know my own Swarupam. I did not attain the Swarupam. Shastram said it's already there. Bhagavan, the Brahma, the truth of the whole is always there as the my own Swarupam in every experience of, as the truth of I. And I want that Swarupam to be revealed to me. If that is called Atma Varanam, if a person has that person, Yameva Yeshaha Vrunute, Yameva Vrunute, the one whom alone this person chooses. Yameva Yeshaha Vrunute, the one by whom this person chooses alone. Tena Labhyaha, only for such a person, Atma becomes accomplishable, attainable in terms of knowledge. Atma Swarupam will be revealed. So, just to emphasize the fourth Purushartha, fourth qualification. What is it? I want moksha and I want jnanam. All that I want, this person, all that I want is only my Swarupa jnanam. I want to know my Swarupam. I want to know my Swarupam. That becomes the priority for him. Then the Shravanam he does becomes meaningful. Upravacham he becomes meaningful. He becomes meaningful. I mean, it is useful, but when does it become meaningful? When everything contributes for mental preparation, attainment of jnanam and discovery of moksha, everything has served its purpose, then it is meaningful. Therefore, his Yameva Yeshaha Vrunate Tena Labhyaha. Beautiful. Yenaiva Yena Yameva Yeshaha Vanutte Tena Labhyaha. Only for such a person Atma is attainable. Without the Purushartha Nischeha, without that ardent wish, that desperate, that burning urge for the Swarupa Jnanam, that is the means, okay? Without that, even if a person listens to many lectures and discourses, even if a person has tremendous amount of Medha Shakti. Even if a person listens to Vedantic teaching also properly, still Atma will not be attainable. All this will be possible only when the person's Icha, Moksha, Mumukshutvam is very strong and Jigyanatam is very, that becomes his priority. Then Yameva Yeshaha Vunute Tena Labhyaha, only by that person Atmagyanam is, Atma is attainable. And Yeshaha Atma Vivrunute Tanum Swam. That's a beautiful concluding that is. Okay. Atma, finally he says, Tameva Yameva Yeshaha Vunute, the one who chooses, the person whose Vrunute is an Atmane Padam, which means chooses. The person Vrunute, whom the one, the person who chooses, the moksha. Moksha as the only goal. Only goal. No other goal. Okay. Thereby Atma becomes the only goal. Atma Jnanam becomes the only goal for him. Which means to the exclusion of all other goals, having Jnanam as the only goal, moksha as the only goal, the person who, you know, chooses the moksha, then only for, by that person, knowledge is attainable. Tasya, now Atma Tanam Swam Vivrunate, that's the beautiful. For, only for such a serious, ardent, desperate seeker, only for such a serious, sincere, desperate, ardent aspirant of Jnanam, Atma also reveals its own Swarupam. Swam Tanum Vivrunute. See, Vrunute means chooses. Vivrunute means reveals. Vrunute chooses, Vivrunute reveals. The person who chooses Atma as his ultimate goal, only for him Atma reveals what Swam Tanum. Tanuhu means form. Atma reveals its form as it is. It means Atma reveals its own form. Swam Tanum. Tannudayade aya swarupatte Atma avanakku puriya vekkiru vilanga cheyiradu. Vivrunate. Atma reveals its own swarupam to that person who chooses Atma as the only goal. Therefore, in these two mantras, connecting what Upanishad teaches is, one should definitely know, one should have Purushartha Nischayaha. This is the biggest problem. That is why Swamiji used to repeatedly emphasize in the first 6 months course, now he used to emphasize. He used to teach, he never emphasized that you must have a moksha. This is for moksha, he never said. But he made it very important to clarify that how important it is for any student to have Purushartha Nischayaha. So moksha being the ultimate goal must be very clear. Then one must have that, the goal becomes very clear. Then commitment to the pursuit of moksha, and thereby moksha becomes the only goal then afterwards. That's called being very clear about what one chooses in life as the ultimate goal. It's called one must aspire for moksha. Okay, moksha will never come and knock at the door. Bhagwan will never come and, okay, you are bhakta, every day you come and worship me, pray to me. Bhagwan will be very happy if you pray and worship. He'll bless you with whatever small desires you have wanted to be fulfilled. He will bless you with that. But moksha he will not give unless you ask for it. Which means you must choose the Atma. Then Atma will reveal its Swarupam to you. Very nice. Is it very nice? Okay. I can go on and on, but enough. Now, next.
Swami.
Yeah?
In the book, in that last two lines, Yame Vaisha Vrinute Tena Labhyaha, Tansha Atma Vivrute, it says. You said Vivrinute. It says Vivrute in this.
Yeah, the two verbs are there.
Ah.
Vivrunute. Vivrute is also there.
Yeah.
Vivruti is also there. Vivrunute is also there. Vivrunute. Vivrunute means displays, reveals, uncovers. Mangama.
Okay.
Vivrunute, make it Vivrunute.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Swami.
Vivrunute is the more right verb. Maybe that no is no got missed now. Vivrunute is the correct verb. Vivrunate, Vivrunate, it's a Ubayapadi. So Vivrunate is the correct verb. Add one nu. Maybe the nu got spelling. Now, only now, the Pooja Swamiji's the Bhashyam book, only now I'm reading. I never read it before because it only came very late. Whatever I am teaching, what I heard from Swamiji. So this book, now I'm teaching this Bahamas. So I see the slowly I find one or two mistakes there, the spelling mistakes. Not everything, not English. The Sanskritam print mistakes I noticed, not many, rarely one or two. I found until now, I found three mistakes. Like that Vivrunute must be there. Vivrunute. Okay. See, these verses, how when Swamiji used to teach, if we have a lot of time, we can give many examples from many other books, quote from here and there. We can do all that. But I just want to give exactly what this verse conveys. Then you can read Swamiji's book. The idea must become very clear. नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः न च प्रमादात् which means the again this verse also नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः न च प्रमादात् तपसो वाप्य लिंगात् एतैरुपायैर् यतते यस्तु विद्वान् तस्यैष आत्मा विशते ब्रह्मधाम नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः न च प्रमादात् तपसो वाप्यलिङ्गात् एतैरुपायैर् यतते यस्तु विद्वान् तस्यैष आत्मा विशते ब्रह्मधाम अकि I have done the Shankara's commentary on this book many, many years ago. I think Adnaji must have put the recordings on the web. I think this is the first book I did for them in Shakuntala Ma's house, I think, in the Bhashyam. Many years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I don't know. So it's away, maybe it may be there with the Bhashyam. Now I'm doing after long time again the same text here. So, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhyaha. So, again, I am Atma na Labhyaha. This Atma, even though it is your own innermost essence, Pratyek Atma, your own Swarupam. But every time you say I, and that what is that I? That I is an expression of the very Jnanam, yourself. your essential nature. The swarupam of that I, I is only a word. Actual substance of that word I, actual content of that word I, the very swarupam of the you, the knower, I, is what? Atma, which is there in everything as all pervasive reality. That Atma is not labhyaha, is not attainable, by whom I am na labhyaha. Na should go with labhyaha. Na labhyaha is not attainable. What is not attainable? I am Atma. This labhyaha is also potential passive participle. Atma cannot be attained. That is the meaning. Atma cannot be attained. Atma is not attainable. Na labhyaha. Labhya is a potential passive participle. Atma cannot be attained. Atma is not attainable. I am Atma. Why I am Atma? I am means this. The absolute reality obtaining as one's own innermost essence, nearest self, one's own self, all the time which is there in one's own, available in one's mind. Atma, which is always everywhere in everything which is there, is available for recognition in one's own mind as the nearest self, as the very experiencer, is swarupam of the experiencer. Available in dream state, waking state, in deep sleep state, in all the three states of experience, experiencer is there. And you are the experiencer and your own swarupam. As a swarupam of the experiencer, Atma is always available for recognition. But still Atma is not available. I am Atma, na labhyaha, balahinena. Balahinaha. Balavan means one who has strength. Balahinaha is one who does not have strength, one who is weak. Balahinaha means one who does not have strength, which means one who is weak. Balahinena atma na labhyaha. Okay. Which means, what is balam? Balam itself, you know, balam implies being endowed with qualifications. Having the qualification is the balam, is the strength. If no balam means what? No qualification means no strength. Therefore, one must become qualified. One must have qualification implies one's strength. How qualified you are, that is your strength. I have shamaha. I have damaha, that is the strength. In keeping with the mastery over your mind, your strength can be measured. The strength of a person, how strong the person emotionally he is, how strong he is physically and mentally, that strength is measured based on one's disciplines. Therefore, here, balahinaha, the one who is weak, means weak-minded. One who has no qualifications, one who has no shamaha, no damaha, no sadhana, nothing. That a person is a weak person. Therefore, balahinena na labhyaha. Means a person is not able to live a life of dharma. There's no adequate shraddha in shastram. It's all weakness. No shraddha in shastram, weakness. No interest in jnanam, weakness. No interest, no effort to have any shamaha, weakness. No damaha, completely very weak. No capacity or sense organs, very weak. Eat whenever you want to eat. Sleep whenever you want to sleep. Do anything you want to do. No discipline. It's all weakness. See, a person's strength is purely dependent on how much a person has mastery over one's body, mind, and complex. The person who does not have mastery over one's biological, physiological and physical, emotional needs, one does not have mastery over them, becomes a slave of them. The one who is slave of one's own body, mind, and complex is a balahinaha. He is a weak man. One who has mastery over them is a strong man. therefore balahinena atma nalabhya. So of course one must be physically strong. It does not mean okay the person become the world boxer, world champion, but buddhi has no, not very raw, then jnanam is not possible. Therefore here balam, what makes a person balavan, relative balavan, a person becomes when he follows dharma, when he lives a life of karma yoga, when he follows all disciplines. A disciplined person whose body can listen to him, whose mind can listen to him, whose sense organs can listen to him, who will not listen to them, you know, that person who has mastery over them is strong person, has strength. Or one who is slave of them is a weak person. Therefore, for such a person, atma is definitely impossible for such a person to attain atma jnanam. Then, next one. I am atma na balahinena labhyaha nacha pramadat. Nacha pramadat. See, pramadat is a panchami vibhakti, but you take it as pramadena. So, pramadaha actually means the pramadaha literally means indifference. Pramadaha, indifference. Indifference here implies not being serious. Not being serious means what? Being very casual. Being very casual means what? Not paying adequate attention. Not paying adequate attention means what? Really neglecting. So, we can say neglecting, negligence. Indifference in terms of negligence. Not being very serious. It's also called pramadaha. Therefore, pramadat atma nalabhyaha. It means, even in a book, Vedanta book itself, a person doesn't even cover, scribble wherever a person wants to scribble in the book. You know, doesn't even keep it respectfully. That starts, first of all, because all, no seriousness. And forget the book, not bringing the book to the class. It's all small, small things. No, which means there's no shraddha. Adequate shraddha is not there. Without any adequate shraddha, without commitment, without seriousness, without honesty, without sincerity, and without being a, you know, serious commitment, without having jnanam as the priority, without having a proper shraddha, if a person is given study of the Shastram also. And such an approach towards Shastram is called Pramada Rahityam. Pramada Rahityam means what? Apramadaha. Apramadaha. So Pramadaha means against. Apramadaha means absence of pramadaha is apramada rahityam. Apramadaha means what? Apramadaha means the person who has, for whom shastra study, jnana, moksha becomes the priority. Then the person who has commitment, total commitment, is called apramadaha. Having total commitment, having seriousness in attainment of jnanam is called apramadaha. So if a person has apramadaha, for him moksha is attainable. Jnanam is attainable. Pramadena, pramadat, one cannot attain atma. Then tapasaha va api alingat. Then tapaha. See, why Upanishad mentions all of them? Because tapas is always emphasized in Shastra very much as important discipline. So the discipline is fine. So the person is, you know, tapaha means, it's a very loosely used word. It has many meanings. Even vicharaha is tapaha, inquiry into the nature of one's own self through this proper shravanam mananam with the help of the teacher is also vicharaha. The vicharaha is also tapas. Living life karma yoga is tapas. Being strictly following the values is tapas. And even one's own self-infliction of discomfort upon oneself to prepare one's mind is also tapas. Like tapas has so many meanings here. Therefore, tapas is very important discipline when any spiritual aspirant should have. But still, tapas itself, nacha pramana tapas, tapasa, but still, even tapas also, alingat. So, va api alingat, va api alingat. We have to come club that word later on. Lingam, the word lingam. Shankaracharya, he loves sannyasa. He always emphasizes sannyasa. So the word sannyasaha here means sannyasaha. Lingam means sannyasaha. You may ask, lingam literally means clue, a hint, is also called lingam. But here lingam means a sannyasaha. The reason is given here. Usually in Vedic tradition, the pursuit of jnanam, the total commitment to the pursuit of knowledge is possible only for people who are also given to the sannyasa ashrama. The people who are given to sannyasa ashrama are the people who, for whom moksha becomes the only goal. That's why dharma, artha, kama, moksha, they people have become, for whom artha, kama, dharmas are no more important. Moksha becomes the ultimate goal. And the people who are also, mentally also go through sannyasa, who have vairagyam, viveka, such people then totally who commit themselves to the pursuit of jnanam are given to the discipline of sannyasa there in Vedic tradition. Therefore, the word lingam here is taken to be sannyasaha. So the lifestyle which is totally committed for the pursuit of jnanam mokshaha is called sannyasaha. And in sannyasa ashramaha, of course, the person does not have any of the karmas a person which one needs to do in other ashramas. Which means the person, all that person has to do is only study, learn, teach, share, be in shastram all the time. That is his commitment. It's a total commitment. The exclusively pursued end is jnanam, which is mokshaha. Therefore, always the sannyasa is a lingam, is a like a hint. Sannyasa is the, when you see a person who is wearing saffron robes, you can understand for this person, supposed to be, okay, in India. When they see sannyasi in the saffron robes, that is the lingam, that the person's only end is mokshaha and jnanam, not anything else. That is why the person is revered and given bhiksha, everything. The person wearing this dress also having some other ends, interests, it's only a link, clue that's not appropriate then. Therefore, it is said sannyasa is the lingam, which means a clue. It gives a clue for a person to make out this person is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam. Their understanding was in the Vedic society before. But the word lingam here means sannyasaha. Now, so he says alingat. Alingat. The word is alinga here. So it doesn't mean one has to really take to life of sannyasa just by wearing saffron robes. One doesn't need to become sannyasi. What is emphasized is a person must go through mentally sannyasa. Okay. So alingat means without having sannyasa, without having that sannyasi's bent of mind. That is the meaning. So, then Atma is not Labhyaha. So here, a sannyasi is the one. Who is sannyasi then? The sannyasi is the one whose mind is adequately qualified, appropriately qualified. Qualified in such a way there is preparedness on the part of the sannyasi to get rid of, even to lose anything. What can be lost? What cannot be lost? One's own swarupam cannot be lost. One thing which can never be lost is one's own swarupam, that is Atma. Other than one's own swarupam, everything in the world is subject to get lost. The most painful thing, the more emotional we are, I tell you, it is very difficult. The most difficult thing is what? We are naturally emotionally entangled with everything. It's very natural. That is why from the beginning, it's always very important for us to develop this habit, develop this nature of blessing everybody, wishing well everybody, even having concern and care, affection for the family members is okay, but again getting attached to them, I mean depending upon them for one's happiness and security, it's all a problem. But it's very natural for us to have such things. So, one must have that sannyasa mentally. It's called sannyasa, not that one should wear saffron robes. Alingat means without having sannyasi bent of mind, Atma cannot be attained. So, even tapas is not enough. One must have that alingam. Okay, na alingat. Alingena is not possible. The lingam must be there. Lingam means what? There must be sannyasa vritti. Sannyasa vritti must be there. Sannyasa vritti means one must have that mind. Entertaining such a bent of mind is called having sannyasa. Only for such a sannyasi, who is a sannyasi, is very important. The preparedness to lose anything that is subject to get lost. What cannot be lost? Only one's own swarupam cannot be lost. Other than Atma, everything is subject to get lost. Then the person who understands the nature of what is permanent and what is impermanent, because of the viveka, because of his vairagyam towards everything else, he knows what cannot be lost is my own swarupam. Everything else subject to get lost. I cannot prevent them from getting lost. Prevent them from being lost. I cannot prevent anything in the world subject to get lost to prevent it from getting lost. Once a person understands the fact, accepts the fact, thereby prepares his mind to ready, prepares his mind in such a way that he is ready to lose anything which is subject to get lost. That person is a sannyasi, he says. Okay, I'm going to finish soon. Okay, only by alingena means what? Only by having such sannyasi bent of mind, that preparedness. What is important for sannyasa? Preparedness, readiness to lose anything which is subject to get lost. And that preparedness to lose anything in the subject to get lost is possible only if you strongly hold on to that what cannot be lost is myself, and only I want my own. Okay? My own sorupam. Jnanam. Such a person alone, only for him, Atma is labhyaha. Okay. What I'll do, I will continue next class. I think I want to say something more about this verse. I'll continue the next class. Now remember, what is lingam? What is alingam? Alingenanna, lingam only we need. Means what? Sannyasaha. One must, the sannyasa vritti must be there for one to attain atma. Sannyasa vritti does not mean wearing saffron robes. The preparedness, the readiness to lose anything which is subject to get lost. I'll see you next. I'll see you in Sanskritam. Yes, 10 minutes.